Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Dave Wunstead hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always fun to have Coach Wunstead here in studio. And Dave, we said before the break, we'd ask you, they changed their offensive coordinator. They brought in Shane Waldron. At the time, they said that what appealed to them about him was his versatility. Mm-hmm. So presumably, he could become more of a run-based coordinator. Do you see that happening this week, especially against a porous run defense like that?
Yes.
Indy.
Yes, Molly, to answer your question. And let me say this about Shane. Shane, you know, there's offensive coordinators out there that don't believe in the run or don't, more importantly, don't understand it. And that's a critical point. They don't understand when a defense is moving their lineman or they're dropping a safety down or, you know, they're blitzing off one side. They don't understand how to attack somebody with the run game in those situations. Shane does. I mean, I give him, this guy's been with Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll. These are defensive-minded coaches. Belichick and Pete Carroll will just soon run the ball 40 times a game and win. Okay, so he knows how to run the football. I believe that. I'm going to give him credit for that. I think it's just a situation where, you know, it's a little bit like going into the candy store. You got your all you worked on since the draft and OTAs is we got so much talent at receiver. How are we going to get the ball to Keenan? How are we going to get it to Odunze? How are we going to get it to Komet? How are we going to get it to Swift? Not even mentioning DJ. So I think we spent a lot of time with that. That was all everybody talked about inside the building and out. Now here's where we're at, guys. Now this is where Flus got to come in. This is where your head coach calls him in and says, listen, okay, well, this is what we need to do. You, Shane, you got to figure out what runs are best, you and the offensive staff, but I want to come out and I want to run the football and throw the ball down the field some on play action pass and, I want to do it 40 times, whatever. And just commit to this. That's the role of the head coach. That's not up to the offensive coordinator just to make the switch on his own. Sometimes they do, but that's not what they're hired to do. They're hired to score points. And right now we're caught up in all the skill guys. This is the head coach's job now to say, guys, figure it out, okay? This is what I want to do. Talk to me tomorrow after we get the game plan to match my philosophy.
Is that why you think he took that approach publicly yesterday, talking about the importance of the running game? And do you think that he or Waldron or combination of everyone got carried away in the first two games because of the presence of weapons the Bears don't typically have?
Right. I do, David. I think you're right on point on both of those things. I think Flus probably went in there. Hey, knowing an old defensive guy, he probably went in there and punched the wall after the game and said, you know, we've got to make some adjustments. We had two of our, you know, I'm not even counting Adunze as playing. I mean, the guy don't practice all week. You're a rookie. Come on. I mean, you know, it's, yeah, I knew they threw him a couple passes. So we should have really come out and pondered these guys. And
you ever punch a wall?
Well, that's a whole nother story. Punched a lot of things, but anyway.
That's what you said Flusie might have punched the wall. That kind of like.
Yes, I have. Wow. Yes. I mean, I mean, I'd be told, if I was the head coach, I'd be so damn mad at myself. And I've been there. I've been there and come in and said, what was I thinking? I should have stopped this halfway through and said, we got to throw the ball down the field, put Komet in there, put Mercedes Lewis in there, put our fullback in there. But I'm not going to let this kid get hit in the mouth.
Dave, one of the things that's so bothersome is that the defense was manhandling the offense during training camp. They must have known that this was coming, that the offensive line was not very productive even when they first started rushing the passer. Remember all the stories about Sweat had to be benched in practice because he kept hitting the quarterback or he kept grabbing at the ball, whatever it was. And it wasn't helping them at all in their practices. But they must have known that this was coming, right? This, you know, as much as you do, as you deceive yourself, you know what your strengths and your weaknesses on your team are.
And I'm going to take it a step further. I agree with you, Molly. We talked about this coming out of preseason. And one of you guys asked me, what bothers you about our team right now in preseason? I said, I haven't seen us line up and pound the football in the preseason games. I haven't seen Swift. I don't know how many carries he has. We can look it up. But I haven't seen him run the ball. I haven't seen our offensive line execute it consistently. And that's when it has to happen. You know, this third game of the season, it's difficult to try to change the mentality and the execution, you know, of your offense. It's not easy. We got to try to do it, but it's not easy. I can tell you that.
How much do you think that part of this is what we're talking about? A lack of identity, lack of commitment, maybe surprising some coaches that didn't expect this. And how much of it is it, Dave? The Bears just played what could be the best team in the AFC, aside from the Chiefs.
Great
and
team.
If we're going to, you know, be honest about everything we're talking about here, part of the thing you have to be honest about is it could be a big overreaction to a problem that might not be as bad as it seems. You don't want to say that because it sounds like you're an apologist, but the Texans are going to be there deep in the postseason in all likelihood. And I wonder if week two changing everything or questioning everything is that the right response if you're the Bears?
I think you're right on point. I would just say this, okay? Just say this. If we got beat by three touchdowns, everybody would be saying, well, it's exactly what you said, David. This is a team that's going to go deep into the playoffs, and they went to, but we had a chance to win this game. So I think we all, as coaches, as players, as media people, as fans, we all look close and say, God, we were there. Why didn't we win the game? So I think it may be a blessing in disguise that this thing was so close because it highlighted our deficiencies.
Right.
And I'm not saying we're not have to change the offense. I mean, we got running plays in there. Trust me. We got more running plays than we can call. It's just a matter of what are we going to emphasize this week and what are we going to commit to? We're not changing the offense. You know, and the other thing, too, is Komet. I thought that Cole, you know, when you're getting a lot of pressure, the quarterback's best friend can be your tight end, you know, because you can get the ball out quick and high percentage throws. And I just don't know if I don't know what happened to and he makes great catches. He's made some of the as good a catches around here in the last couple of years as any receiver has, you know, in traffic, getting hit. You know, and that one sack, I mean, you bring him across in motion or and he's going to try to block Will Anderson when he's running full speed. You got about as good a chance of doing that as me blocking Will Anderson. I mean, that was tough. That was
tough.
You know what I mean? Set him in there and
tough
say,
ask.
Sit him in there and say, I got you. I know that you're a better pass rusher than me, but I'm going to at least, you're going to have to run my butt over. Okay. You know, yeah.
Well,
where's a wall I can punch?
We should say this segment with Dave Wannstedt is sponsored by ChicagoRoofingContractors.org, providing all weather protection for your business.
We may need them.
Yeah. Dave, I'm just curious. You know, you talk about Kmet, and you know, he came out yesterday and said it's not all on the offensive line, and it's true. They gave up, I believe, 7 sacks in the game, and 4 of them are directly given up by offensive linemen, 2 by Darnell Wright, but and 1 by each guard. They gave up a ton of pressure. I'm not saying they played great, but you know, there were some mistakes outside of just the offensive line. However, it begins there, and if you played better and if you got downhill a little, maybe you curtail the amount of blitzing, and then those other guys aren't getting there because the offensive line misses or they can't block more than the guy in front of them, etc.
Yes, I mean, 100%. You know, yeah, I agree. I mean, and we shouldn't say offensive line, even though we do have some personnel things that we got to work through. I think we should probably be using the term protection in general.
Yeah.
Because we can get a lot of guys involved in the protection. You know, as I mentioned, the tight ends, the fullbacks, I mean, the back, you can get everybody involved in protection. So we should probably be talking in terms of that. What can we do? And, you know, if I was really glad to hear and see that they were putting the time up here because, and I'll go back some years now. when we were at the University of Miami, we had Vinny Testaverde. He won the Heisman for back in the day. People may not know who he is. He won the Heisman. You know, we had an undefeated season. Vinny was the first pick of the entire draft that year. Great player. But I think we were sacked like 15, let's say it was 15 times or something. The next year, we got a little guy, smart guy, Steve Walsh, and I think we gave up 5 sacks. And I remember Tony Wise talking to him and Jimmy Johnson talking to him, and he says, Coach, it's real simple. Steve Walsh gets the ball out so much quicker that he's the best thing that's happened to our offensive line. My point that I was working to is it was very good for me mentally to see that they were putting the time up there. Caleb was getting rid of the ball on an average of
2.5,
2.5 something. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
When it was below 2.59, he was completing passes. Anything above that,
that was a good start.
Right.
It was definitely a good start.
You know what I mean? But that was comforting to me because my first reaction was, is this kid holding the ball 2.7
they
seconds?
They can do that. They can meet that standard. They can get rid of the ball and do the quick passing game if you want. You didn't draft him first overall to be a game manager.
Right.
Game managers are good at doing that. Steve Walsh was more game manager.
Oh, 100%.
Vinny Testaverde was game breaker.
100%.
And so I want him to be game breaker.
Yep.
Now, maybe you have to take baby steps, but you have to have a combination of both. They can't do both right now because they can't protect.
I agree. Good point.
So to that end, David, and I know you don't want the aggression coached out of this player.
Can't do it.
Would you be better off running the ball, using the punter, playing field position, and trying to just win a game as opposed to scoring points every time you get a possession?
Yes, I would look at it that way. I mean, my first thing I did when we got together every week, I would set in there and I would say, what do we got to do as a team to win this game? And
if you're the Bears in this season and you are in the midst of a division that is maybe up for grabs, you look at it that way. You're not as interested, and this sounds absurd, but you're not as interested in the development of your quarterback because you feel like he's got to be a player that helps you win, not yes. maybe develop not this year, not right. next year.
I agree.
So you look at it every week, not developing your quarterback. How do we win this game? Because we have playoff aspirations. This is a playoff season. It can be because your division may not be as good as, or you're closer maybe than you think because of a lot of factors, because you got an elite defense.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't look at their defense. You know, they took Derek Stingley Jr., a Pro Bowl corner, and they locked him down on DJ Moore.
Yes.
I mean, that's smart. I mean, and then everybody was saying, why did Carter get so many passes? It was because Carter was matched up on their rookie corner, Lassiter.
Yes. Yes.
So they matched up, and, you know, this was going to be a challenge. This should not have been a game plan that we look at and say, oh, wow, we got a big advantage. You know what I mean? Because they got great people over there too. So, you know, you were going to win this game by playing great defense, and you were going to have to win this game on special teams and not turning the ball over.
Is Keenan Allen, was that a bad move if indeed he's got a heel problem due to plantar fasciitis and he is going to be impacted by it? You know, if nothing else, he doesn't practice. So Keenan Allen is an artist in terms of getting open on third down, et cetera.
Right.
He's like a third down machine. The problem is if the quarterback doesn't get to build any chemistry with him, how does that work?
Yeah, it hurts a little bit, but it's not Keenan's fault. I mean, we've all had that injury. It can come up walking down the street, you know, really. I mean, it's
comes up more often when you're 32, probably.
Yeah, it comes at you when you're my age too, absolutely.
you're live, older than 32.
I live with plantar fasciitis. But anyway, it's what was I saying? You got me going, Molly. Yes. So, because remember the one play in the first game that was thrown behind Keenan Allen, and it was a great explanation on TV that Keenan was going in on an option route, and he saw, by experience, that there was a linebacker that wasn't that far away. So he was not going to drift in there. Remember the play? He was yes. not going to drift in there any farther. Well, it's probably drawn up, and they were practicing it with that linebacker not being there. So Caleb is seeing Keenan make the turn, and he's anticipating that he's going in.
Yes.
So he's going to get the ball, good timing throw, and he's going to put the ball out in front of him. Well, Keenan knows, I'm not going in there because that could be a potential headache or an interception.
Yes.
If the ball's way out. So Keenan shuts it down a little bit.
Right.
And the ball, and it's a misfire.
Yes.
That's what misses, Molly.
It's experience.
To your point
yes.
of them not,
when
working,
not
together.
Working together.
It's experience.
You know, I mean,
chemistry.
That was the perfect
yeah.
play of chemistry,
yes.
of guys working. And you say, how did Edelman and who was the other little receiver?
Wes
Welker yeah. catch 70, 80 balls with Tom Brady. It wasn't ability as much as just being on the same
know-how,
page.
Savvy.
Yes, savvy,
yeah.
know-how, absolutely.
All right, so going into Indy, the Bears can't afford to lose this game, especially against a team that is as soft against the run as the Colts are. What happens Sunday in Indianapolis?
Well, we're going to get some turnovers. Our defense, I mean, Flus and Eric Washington, our defense coordinator, you know, those guys came out of the box ready to play, in my opinion. But, boy, again, at halftime, these guys do as good a job at halftime as – I mean, they came out and they started – you know, they were showing that two linebacker pressure in the middle, and then one time they dropped them both. One time they dropped one and rushed one. When they got the sack with Edmonds, they ran a twist with Edwards and Edward. I mean, they had a nice scheme, really nice scheme. We're going to get some turnovers this week from Richardson in Indianapolis. The guy threw three picks last week and fumbled twice, I think. So we're going to get some turnovers. Here's going to be the key. When we get the turnovers, we got to get points. We're going to get sudden change. You know, we got to score off the turnovers, and we got to get touchdowns, not field goals on the road.
They scored 13 points, and six of them were on 50-yard field goal.
Dave, don't knock the field goal. It's back. Yeah. The field goal is back.
But we would prefer not to be 50.
The 50-plus-yard field goal is back. That's with a vengeance.
I'm all but – I'm Mr. Field Goal guy, trust me. But it's it's tough.
Mr. Field Goal guy.
Well, Coach, you know how many times I kicked field goals and got booed? For not going for it. And tell you what, you win a hell of a lot of games.
I tell you what, we'd be talking about the Eagles winning that game last night if they would have kicked the field goal when they should have.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Always the joy. Dave. That's hysterical.
All right, go Bears.
That is Mr. Field Goal Guy, Dave Wanstead. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Score.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to Coach Wanstead and to kind of go over those old school sensibilities and kind of the way, as you say, David, the way you prepare for individual opponents and how you want to play them. I think this is a good game for the Bears defense. I think they match up.
Well,
with
they
the Colts.
Definitely match up with a quarterback that will throw you the football or might be susceptible to a turnover. Anthony Richardson is an amazing talent. He went that high in the draft and skyrocketed up the board for a reason.
Yep.
But he also lacks experience. And when you do that, sometimes you're going to learn the hard way the importance of protecting the football. And certainly he showed that in the Green Bay game. And my sense is that he will show that again against the Bears defense that is opportunistic and creates its own luck. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on.
And the Bears just played a quarterback that doesn't throw picks, that doesn't give the ball away, a very accurate quarterback in C.J. Stroud, who doesn't give the ball away, generally speaking, as a rule. One of the reasons he's
does
so
not
good.
Even more than that, Molly, when you get DJ, when you get C.J. Stroud into a situation where there's trouble, I think it was Jalen Johnson on the afternoon show yesterday, he said when they were watching the tape, six explosive plays were on scramble drill. When C.J. Stroud leaves the pocket, he becomes more dangerous, much like Caleb Williams. The great ones are like that. And so he also has, and the great ones have the capability of improvising without making an error. And C.J. Stroud is better at improvising because he doesn't make errors. Anthony Richardson isn't there yet.
No.
So when he tries to make something happen, he might be trying too hard to do that.
I thought Fields did that, especially when he threw into triple coverage, the second interception. He broke free. It was a scramble drill, and then he threw
Caleb,
the ball.
Caleb.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, I just want to make sure I had the right game.
Yeah.
On Sunday night, he did throw into triple coverage.
You can't do that. The first pick wasn't good, but that was understandable, and you have a guy like DJ Moore who can go up and challenge the ball. You cannot throw the ball in that situation. Air mallet, send it over his head into the sideline and live to play another game.
I think that you worry if you're while we're worrying about everything based on Sunday night and tomorrow we're going to look ahead. But what you worry about, if anything, is everything. No, but what you worry about is that the effect that getting sacked as often as he got sacked is going to change the way that he looks down the field. Hey. It's going to change his risk reward calculus. That you worry about a young quarterback developing bad habits because he's always under duress. Nobody's been sacked. The only other quarterback that's been sacked in 2 weeks as often as Caleb Williams is Gardner Minshew in Vegas. And so that is not a good trend. I know seven of them came Sunday night, but you don't want to have him develop things that or lean on things he's never had to lean on before.
I agree with that.
That's a problem.
That's not good. That is a very, you have got to figure out how to run an offense where you're not getting him under siege on every play. The end of that game, and it's really difficult to come back when you're behind a team. And it's really difficult when they have defensive ends that can rush the passer and you are in what would you call it? Must throw downs. So at the end of that
downs.
Game,
predictable.
God, they couldn't do anything else but what they were doing.
You're one-dimensional. And when you're one-dimensional, you're playing into a harassing defense's hands.
Yeah.
And when you have those elite pass rushers as they do on the edge, that's something that is a recipe for disaster.
He took so many big hits. Even when he got the ball out, he was taking big hits. And the fact of the matter is that they did not do anything in terms of any extra curriculars on the sidelines or anything else, even if it wasn't bad, even if he just got shoved or he got hit or it was borderline, he was slowing down and going out of bounds and then he got cleaned out. Just too many hits in a game. You don't, it's almost like professional boxing. You only got so many hits in you. You got so many big fights in you and you got to preserve that and make sure that you're not getting this kid beat up as he's starting to play quarterback.
So my sense is that either on the flight home or during their meetings Monday morning, that at some point in time, as Dave Wanstead may have alluded to, the head coach has to speak up and be heard and essentially say, we can't do this. We can't sustain this. We can't put him in harm's way that often. How do we fix this? We need to run the ball more. We need to commit to doing it not only often, but well, because we are going to get off track here in a very big hurry if he's getting sacked or hit as often as he got sacked and hit on Sunday night.
312-644-6767. Let's try Rusty. He's listening in Iowa. Hey, Rusty.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, the question I have is, you know, they talk about Williams' calm demeanor, like somehow that's a positive trait. But all he does is on the sideline is sit there. He doesn't have a headset on. He doesn't look at plays. He doesn't do anything.
How do you know?
Yeah, I think the end of the game when you saw him sitting there, if that's what you're basing it on, Rusty, that was almost like a guy trying to get a respite. Yeah, like a guy trying to get, you know, a moment to himself because he's getting physically beaten so badly.
A little bit.
He was getting his head knocked
off. I don't think that description, Rusty, is consistent with a guy who's talking to Keenan Allen about what to do on the sidelines. He's getting coached up by a player that's seeing things that are happening. I don't think that I don't want to go there where we're starting to read into what's going on the sidelines, because we really don't have any idea. We're not watching him between every possession.
No, they're just showing a cut here or there. And I mean, the guy.
And by the way, I know Patrick Mahomes, if you watch the Bengals and Chiefs game, he's on the sidelines looking into space, looking up at the scoreboard when he doesn't have the ball. So quarterbacks do have their own routines. It's not always you're plugged into the, you know, you're talking to the coordinator nonstop. You're looking at the screen. I'm sure they do that.
They do a lot of that.
They do a lot of that.
They talk about a lot of things. But when you're at that point in the game and you've just stumbled to the sidelines, you just collapse on the bench and stare into space. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's a guy. I mean, I got to tell you, I was wondering if he was going to be able to walk off the field. Honest to God, he was getting hit so often. And they, you know, again, they sacked him 7 times. There were 11 quarterback hits. That's an unbelievable amount of free shots.
And as well as he absorbed contact when he lowered his shoulder and drove his foot on the runs that he chose to run. And he was their leading rusher on Sunday night. And that's something that gets overlooked. Yes, the sacks. Yes, the hits. Yes, all that matters. But he also carried the ball in a way that created a little bit more punishment.
Let's get back to the phone lines. We've got Chris. Chris is on with Mully and Haw. Hey, buddy.
Good morning, guys. Hope everybody's doing well. Since the game, I listened to post-game shows and listened to you guys yesterday, listened to different shows. And, you know, we've heard it all about what needs to be fixed and everything like that. One thing I haven't heard a lot that just came to my mind right away after the game and during the game, see what you guys think, is the missed opportunity again by the Bears to do this right with the franchise quarterback and the best, you know, free agents supposedly you've had in a while, a great defense again, to get a real coach when you had a chance to. Because when you look at it, all of these things that are happening right now, you trusted your best opportunity that you're probably going to have in the foreseeable future and that you've had for 50 years. You're trusting it with a coach who is not proven at all. And I'm not being a meathead and bashing. You know, Eberflus seems like a great defensive coordinator, but you had the chance. And if you had the best pieces that you're ever going to have, how would you not get someone who you know would know how to handle this? This guy doesn't know how to be great as a head coach right now. He doesn't. He's learning. Mm. Maybe he'll get it, but it's going to take a lot of time. And what's the so if they fire him at the end of the year, then it's another 2-3 years that the guy's got to learn a new offense. And he's now Caleb Williams is 3 or 4 years into his career. It's Justin Fields all over again. You know what I mean? And nobody's talking about that, I don't think. It's like that's where it's at. Yeah, the positions, you know, what you could have done here, what you could have done there. But, you know, I just...
Well, I mean...
It's a phone call.
Thanks, Chris. It's an ongoing story. I mean, we have not reached a point... They're 1-1 after 2 games.
Yeah.
Did you expect them to be 2-0? I think they came out of that second game playing a closer game than anyone anticipated. Not don't get me wrong. There's a difference between a close score and getting your tail kicked. I felt like they got beaten pretty good, especially their offense was just beaten up.
It's a very good team beaten up by.
And I think we all anticipated team. That happening.
Yes,
we did. I don't think anyone is on the Fire Flusie bandwagon right now. But he's right about the, you know, if and what if and ifs and nuts. And
of course he is.
Yes.
We went through that at the time. And to relitigate that month in January when they may have debated and contemplated firing Matt Eberflus and hiring Jim Harbaugh or Mike Vrabel or Bill Belichick or Pete Carroll or all the great coaches that were available serves no purpose right now. I look at it this way, Molly, and I know we'll get more calls like this. So just really briefly, succinctly, if you believe in Ryan Poles and his ability to put a roster together, you trust his judgment. If you trust his judgment, then the conversation about what they should have done with Matt Eberflus is—it's a moot point. It's futile. If you trust his judgment, trust his judgment. Right now, two games into this season, is not the time to debate whether they did the right thing in keeping Matt Eberflus. Let's have a broader discussion about that down the road, but right now it's premature.
Well, and I mean, here's the thing. Matt Eberflus came out yesterday and said, guess what? We got to run the ball. We got to build up our running game. We're going to have to change. He knows what's going on.
He understands that.
He understands that if you keep allowing this quarterback to be blitzed in the fashion in which he was, then it's going to be like a blitzkrieg. It's going to be a horrible thing to witness, and they're going to be their season will be over before it begins. So let's see what happens. They have identified what they know the same thing you do watching the game. They're seeing it. They saw those quarterbacks.
And it matters to them much more than it does to you because it's their livelihood. It's their careers.
Hey, nothing matters to them more than it matters to me. I don't know about you.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Maybe you're right.
Let's talk to Florio.
We got Mike Florio next. We'll ask him. Mully and Ho on the score.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day.
Day by day.
We get better and better.
Get better and better.
So we can't beat, beat.
We can't beat, beat.
Won't beat, beat.
What's happening to Gator? What's happening to
Gator? NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Ho on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mike Florio joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Always a delight to talk to Mike Florio. Michael, good morning. How are you?
You know what's amazing? How much happens in the course of a week. Like, since the last time you guys and I had a conversation, there was no significance attached to the phrase, they're eating dogs. None whatsoever.
Wow.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, that's so hard to
believe. Season
ago.
Every week is a season into itself.
They're eating dogs.
Yes, it is, in more ways than one. And thankfully, 7 weeks from now, it'll all be ending or probably just beginning.
Well, what's just beginning in Philadelphia this morning, I think, is Nick Sirianni experiencing life on the hot seat. How hot is it, Mike? Because last night, you could make the argument easily that Nick Sirianni cost him that football game.
Yeah, this was bizarre. And especially after the game, I couldn't tell whether he was trying to deflect blame to Kellen Moore or what he was doing. He said, and then he stopped himself and he said, the decision to throw the ball on 3rd and 3, less than 2 minutes from the Atlanta 10. It really was a stunner. Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, and Matt Ryan were on the alternate broadcast losing their minds. It just makes no sense. Keep the clock running. That is your primary objective in that situation. And you could have done the quarterback push play twice and gained 3 yards. It was amazing. And it's what happens when coaches outsmart themselves. They want to impress everybody, and you don't have mechanisms in place. Devin McCourty explained today how it worked in New England, where Ernie Adams had a constant pipeline to Bill Belichick and would always have that game situation in mind. And before you even get to the point where Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, calls a pass, he knows not to call a pass. Everybody knows what we're doing here. Above all else, we are keeping the clock moving. And this idea that they were junking up the middle of the defense, so they decided to throw the pass outside, you never get to that point because the strategy is, do everything possible to run the clock out, whether you get a first down or whether you don't. If you don't get a first down, they got the ball with less than a minute inside their own 10, and they need a field goal to force overtime. Instead, you handed them the ball with 70 yards to go, more than a minute and a half to play, and a touchdown wins it. And then they came out and played like prevent weird, no pressure defense and let them go right down the field. It was amazing. And I think the problem is the Eagles thought they'd won the game. And once they realized it was in doubt, they could not start the engine up again.
I got to tell you, it's tough to talk about offensive football here in Chicago because it's been offensive, but it hasn't been very good. And I don't know if Caleb Williams has a chance here because the offensive line has been under siege since this guy started the season. And, you know, everyone's looking at the numbers. Everyone's wondering when it's going to get better. But it's not going to get much better unless they start running the ball and start keeping people from blitzing.
Yeah, the rushing numbers were just downright depressing. Both DeAndre Swift and Khalil Herbert were under 2 yards per carry. You can't not run the ball. Look at what all the teams are doing successfully. It's like 1970s statistics when you look at the box scores. 200 passing yards in a game is now impressive. It's really strange to see this early season pendulum swing back to kind of old school run the ball. And if you can't do it, you got no chance to have a passing game that operates at a high level. Because Caleb Williams, when you watch the plays, it looks like he was at USC, constantly under siege, constantly under duress. You can't deliver. And that's where he's not Patrick Mahomes. Because Mahomes, for the most part, can find a way to still make magic happen if he's being chased and has to elude people. Caleb's not there yet, and you got to give him better protection. That was the key last night. And this is the thing about offensive line. When they do their job well, they don't get noticed. It's only when they're not doing their job that they get noticed and called out. The Atlanta offensive line on that last drive last night was spectacular in giving Kirk Cousins time to throw the ball. Without that, they don't drive down the field. They don't win that game.
A lot of coaches we can be critical of, as we already were with Sirianni, but I look at the opposite end of the spectrum with Matt LaFleur. What he was able to do with Malik Willis, what he was able to do in grasping the obvious and running the football, has to be commended. How good can the Packers be? Are they going to be okay until Jordan Love comes back?
Every win they get while Jordan Love is out is money in the bank. You lose your starting quarterback, you're supposed to have no chance, especially when the guy who's the next man up just arrived a few weeks ago. Everybody wrote them off. I was stunned last week when I saw that the Colts were favored to win at Lambeau Field, because I didn't see anything from the Colts in week one that made me think they could go to this historic place and beat a Packers team that has the pieces for a Super Bowl run. Yeah, the quarterback's injured, but that's the hallmark of a great team. They can still find ways to win without their starting quarterback. And I don't bet, because over the long haul, you can't win. But man, I felt really good about the Packers winning that game, especially as 3-point underdogs. And it should have been worse than the final score. They were about to score another touchdown. Josh Jacobs fumbled. It was going to be 17-0. It would have been a backbreaker, and it would have been very ugly for the Colts. So yeah, the Packers just keep winning without Jordan Love. Let him get to 100%, and then turn on the gas, fire up the engines, and make your push for the playoffs.
So they start the season 0-2, losing to the Texans, and then obviously the Packers. Why are they favored over the Bears? Why are they a point and a half favorite over Chicago?
Wait, who's favored, the Packers or the Bears?
The Colts are favored over the Bears.
Oh, the Colts. I'm sorry. Yeah, the Colts are 0-2. I'm sorry. I got confused there. I don't. There's this fascination with Anthony Richardson, and I was saying earlier today, he's like an amusement park ride where, you know, if you're a Colts fan, at some point you want to get off. But there's chills and spills and thrills, but the bad arguably outweighs the good. For every great play, there's something where you're like, what the hell? This guy's an NFL quarterback. And Bill Walsh would always say, this was something Peter King taught me, Bill Walsh would always say, if I see a guy do something once, I can get him to do it all the time. They need someone like Bill Walsh to get Anthony Richardson to do the great things he can do on a regular basis and not make the mistakes. But yeah, just it's odd to see the Colts have so much faith of gamblers and who knows why, who knows how. But I haven't been impressed yet with the Colts because there's too much of an erratic nature to their quarterback play.
Totally agree. Great stuff, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
That is Mike Florio. We should have congratulated him on the start of the season for Minnesota.
Well, they are undefeated, teams. But West Virginia lost over the weekend, so that kind of balances out his glee.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't think I didn't say West
Vikings
Virginia.
Vikings at 2-0. You're right. How much are they celebrating? You know what? We talk about great coaching moves or in the first 2 weeks. Kevin O'Connell working with Sam Darnold and Brian Flores pushing the right buttons for that defense. Vikings could be dangerous.
As Olin reminded us yesterday, Irish-American coach.
That wasn't Olin. He did.
Okay.
That was you.
One of us.
Yeah. I get you guys confused all the time, though.
I get us confused, too. We got Jared Payton next. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!